Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
Now, before I introduce our guest speaker to us tonight, I need to let you know that we will be streaming this service to Phnom Penh. Are we ready, production desk? Are we ready? I got thumbs up. So, Myri, 6 p.m., can you join me in giving our very best and greatest hello to our Phnom Penh family? Hey, Phnom Penh. Oh, look up there. Hey, Phnom Penh. So good. So good. We know that you have had a massive day. Our family up in Phnom Penh, the very first day in your brand new building. We're celebrating so hard with you. The third anniversary of our church up there, and you got to know that your Perth family is right there in heart and in spirit with you. So good, so good. We're in for a treat tonight. Whatever location you're in, you're going to love our guest speaker, and it's so nice that his family could join with us. Leanne, Jayasila, and Kyle, thank you so much for coming out tonight. If you've never heard, yeah, come on, give them some love. I know you love that. Pastor Mervyn is a great friend of this house. He's a great friend of Ken and my personally. And he's spent years just really investing into this house. We've invited him year after year after year. If you've never had the pleasure of listening to the word delivered through Pastor Mervyn, I tell you, you're in for a treat. He serves as part of the team at Kingdom City Church, and he travels globally a lot in that role. And in the last decade, God's really sharpened a word in him that is to do with wholeness and freedom and recovery. And he just ministers so powerfully in that place. So I wonder, whatever location you're in, if you're in Phnom Penh or even here, let's stand to our feet, because it's right to honor the man of God, Pastor Mervyn Jayasila. That time today.
Whoa. How are you doing? Very good, very good. Please be seated. I want to greet you guys in Phnom Penh, Nations Church. I almost said Kingdom City, Phnom Penh. Nations Church, Phnom Penh. Just want to greet you all. It's awesome that you have a great building. And I know it's just going to bring hundreds and hundreds of people who do not know Jesus Christ are going to find Christ. Once you establish a building in that place, you're taking ground, and people are going to turn and come to Jesus Christ. So bless you. You've had a great day. And I celebrate with your Nations Church, Phnom Penh. How are you doing? It's been exciting 2 days for me. Yesterday I was here doing the marriage, the Strong Marriage Program. And then this morning I've been here. So I've had a great weekend bringing the Word of God. And as Pastor Chrissy was saying, my message is so much to do with restoration and recovery. This morning we spoke a message on our freedom to prayer and fasting. I know you hear fasting and you don't want to hear the message, but it's a good message, get it? It's a powerful message. It will speak to you because it's a very, very clear and specific word God has given me. Yeah. But this evening I want to come with a message, and I entitle it The Father's Voice. Yeah. You know, there's something about the Father's voice that we need to recognize, and with Father's Day coming, you know, it's something for us to talk about. I want to talk about two fathers in the Bible. I want to talk about the two things they said, what they said and how they said it and to whom they said it, and the background behind each of it, and how it had such an impact in healing. Because my whole purpose is I believe it is time not only for the church but for our city to hear the Father's voice again. I think so often we become an orphan city. We become a people that do not know how to hear the Father's voice. And therefore, we come so often. And you know what happens? I'll prove this to you. When you don't get the Father's voice, fear begins to come in. Whether you want to call it insecurities, or you want to call it stress, or you want to call it paranoia, but fear comes to grip and holds us back from being everything God wants us to do. So by bringing this message, I also want to confront the spirit of fear. Yeah. Fear that has gripped your heart. Fear that comes in the sense that you feel timid. Fear that comes because you don't feel you're good enough to rise up and be everything God has called you to do. And that is actually not from God. That fear is from an orphan spirit, from a people who do not know their Father and have not heard the Father's voice. And I believe it is time for us not only to hear the Father's voice, but to bring the Father's voice where we go and begin to bring it back to a world that will slowly respond to the Father's voice. And that's what I want to talk to you about. I'm going to talk about two, and one is Matthew chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. This is a verse that you probably know very well and probably a very, very favorite verse of mine. And I keep coming back to it again and again. All right, Matthew chapter 3, verse 16 and 17 says, and when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water. And behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. The Father's voice speaking to the Son. Why? Why did the Father have to speak to the Son? Why did the Son need to hear the Father's voice? Why is it recorded for us to see this? He was baptized in water, and he went into water and he came out, and there was something that made the Father tear the heavens open. The actual term here is not the heavens were open. It is a violent act where God tore the heavens open. That is actually the wording. He tore the heavens open. He would not let anything hold back his voice from reaching his Son. Nothing was going to stop his voice anymore. And if God had to rise up and tear the heavens open, he would do it so that the voice of the Father will come to us. Now, this voice of the Father in the natural can be the voice of a father figure or mother figure, or your biological father or your biological mother. But in the Bible, it is put as the voice of the Father. Let me explain to you why this was so important, because you will find a lot of it will connect with where we are and the journeys we are going through in our life. Quite often, we forget that Jesus was born out of wedlock. I know we talk about the virgin birth, but from a culture and society, he was born out of wedlock. And in a culture that was so judgmental, so influenced by the way the Pharisees thought, and the culture of the Pharisees, people were very, very judgmental. If you were a child that was born out of wedlock, that they would have nothing to do with you. They will just cut you off. They will have nothing to be involved because they would consider such a child sin. So Jesus grew up from the time he was a boy, and people will have nothing to do with him. We never think of that, do we? All right? In that society, they will go, we don't really know who his father is. Joseph just saved the mother, but he's not really the father. Who really is his father? And so every time this little boy came out to play, every time this little boy came into community, they will whisper behind their hands and say, that's the boy we're talking about. That's the one that doesn't know who his father is. And so there was a stigma that Jesus carried throughout his life. And in many reasons and many backgrounds, we carry stigmas, and we think God doesn't understand the stigma we carry in our life. Actually, he does, because God takes it on himself from the time he's a boy. And just never, society never really accepted him. Society never really embraced this child. And he grew up like that in a community, a very small community in Nazareth, in a very small village. And the village, everybody knew everybody, and everybody knew everything about everybody. So everything everybody knew about him. He couldn't hide in obscurity in the big urban city. He was actually in a very, very small village of Nazareth. And Jesus lived with this constantly throughout his life. In every interaction with society, in everything to do with school, in everything to be friends. And if he went out to play with boys his age, mothers would come out and say to your son, don't play with him. You can play with everybody else, but not him. And they would take their children away. And Jesus grew up in that environment and atmosphere. Now, in the times of this day, when you come from the lineage of David, and Jesus, both by Mary and by Joseph, came from the lineage of David, the great King David, the hero of the people of Israel. Everybody wanted to be a part of the lineage of David. And so if you came from the lineage of David, everyone wants to come to you and say, will you marry my daughter? Because then all my grandkids will come from the lineage of David. Everyone will be rushing and lining up for this son who comes from the tribe of David and say, we're part of the ancestry of David. They wanted to be because they were so highly exalted in that society of who David was. But nobody came for Jesus. Have you ever thought of that? By 17 years old, you would be engaged. By 18 years old, you'd be married. By 30 years old, you would have 4 or 5 children. In that society, that's what you did. The pride of families, the pride of generations, whether your sons and daughters would marry and have children, and if you didn't, society would look down upon you. But nobody came for Jesus. And by 30 years old, where all his classmates and friends were married and having children, with grandmas and granddads so proud of their sons and their grandkids, boasting to one another, coming to every family gathering and say, look at the grandchildren, look at what we had. Jesus was still single in that atmosphere. Every family gathering, every festival, he was the odd one out. They didn't know what to do. To tell you the truth, in that culture and society, he would be seen as a failure, as a loser. And most people would just withdraw from him. You're 30 years old, you can't get married and have children. That was everything about the pride of the family line. And he failed in their eyes. They don't know who is his father. He failed. Many of us here in this room, and I know there's so much young people, and I acknowledge you young people for the passion that you carry in this house. It was amazing to watch you worship. And so often the enemy will come and he will use your background and he will try to steal your passion, your call, your sonship, that you are a daughter of the Most High God. And he will find something to accuse you and pull you down. And you will draw back because you think, I cannot, I'm not worthy, I'm not good enough. And that will eat into you and your identity, and you will try to feed your broken identity by going into all kinds of behavior and going into all kinds of addictions. But let me tell you, addictions can promise, but they don't deliver. The pain does not go away. The cry of the unmet need does not matter because you go and get involved with these things. They don't at all. You see, every one of us is designed as a person with a need. God made us that way. He made us with needs in the life. And he put community, he put family, he put church, he put parents around us to meet that needs. But sometimes when you live in a broken home, when you live with a broken father, when you live with a broken family, they cannot meet that need in their brokenness. And so your need is not met. And the pain and the stigma of that not being met allows you to go and look for the need somewhere else. That's where the danger starts. Because we don't know how to come to God. We don't know how to find this process. And here was Jesus, 30 years old. And John is baptizing in the River Jordan. It's a long distance from where Jesus lived in Nazareth to where the River Jordan is. And Jesus begins to make his way. He was the shame of that community. He was the shame of that village, of that little town. And he makes his way to where John is baptizing. And we can imagine this walk of shame that Jesus takes. And as he comes to the multitudes that John is baptizing in the water, everyone suddenly notices, ha, there he is. Jesus, the son of Joseph. Actually, the truth is we don't know who his dad is. And they watch him and they go, if anyone needs to be baptized, there he is. He's the sinner. He who had no sin, the irony of it. And he's walking down towards John the Baptist like a normal person, like an ordinary person, waiting for his turn to be baptized by John the Baptizer. And as he walks, everyone's watching and they're making comments about him. And every step he takes, the community is looking down, saying, there, he needs to be baptized. He needs to repent. He is the sinful one. And he keeps walking that walk until he comes to John the Baptist. Even John the Baptist, knowing who he was, said, I can't baptize you. You should baptize me. And Jesus said, you have to do this. It has to be so. This is how righteousness is going to work out. You have to baptize me. And John the Baptist, I mean, this must be one of the hardest baptisms John ever had to do. Imagine you have to baptize Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Imagine you have to baptize somebody that you know he has no sin and I have sin and I have to baptize him. And John the Baptist had to stand up in faith and do what he was doing, although probably he did not know what he was doing. And he pushed Jesus into the waters of Jordan. And as Jesus walked up, going up of the waters of Jordan, it was as though the Father could not stand this anymore. He could not be silent anymore. He heard the condemnation. He heard the criticism. He heard what people are saying. And the Father could not be silent anymore. He tore the heavens open and said, listen, this is my Son. This is the one I love. And I am well pleased with him. See, that's why God opened the heavens. The Father's voice had to come to the Son. Don't you think the Father's voice needs to come to us? When our own hearts condemn us, when our own minds judge us, don't you think we, as we walk the journey with Christ, the heavens needs to be torn open for us, and the voice of the Father needs to be heard? The truth is, every single person in this room needs to not just know, but hear the Father's voice. There's a difference between knowing and hearing. There's a difference. There's something so personal. There's something so relational when you hear the voice of the Father. As a son, as a daughter, you have to hear the voice of God. And you see, when Jesus died on the cross, the heavens were torn open again so that you may hear the Father's voice. The Father's voice is not only for a few people. The Father's voice is not only for sometimes you will hear. No, it is for every son and daughter may hear the Father's voice. Because as you embrace the Spirit of the Son through the cross of Jesus Christ, your life now turns and you can hear the Father's voice and the Father can hear your voice. Now let's wake up in our own lives and in our communities, in our schools, in our universities, in our homes. There are so many people struggling with who they are. They need the Father to say, you're my son. You're not a messed up person. You're not a broken person. You're not an unwanted child. You're not a fool in any sense. You are the Son of God. That voice, that words need to resound within us. You see, when that words resound, I know I'm talking about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, but I also know his daddy had to speak to him. I also know before he started his ministry, before he was tempted by the devil, before he moved and did all the ministry and all the healing and died on the cross, he had to hear his Father's voice. So that there was something that came into him as the Father's voice. There was a confidence, there was an identity. He goes, I am walking as Son of God. Throughout his ministry, they would criticize him, they would call him, they would put him down. But he goes, no, I know who I am. I heard my Father's voice. It's the Father's voice is to come back. I don't know the background, the homes, the situations you are in. But have you heard the Father's voice? Do you need to have this great sense, I belong to the Father and the Father is me? There's the Spirit of the Son that Christ, Abba, Father, dwell within you. And if you're not, you need to say, Father, I need to hear your voice. There is nothing wrong to say, God, I need an encounter. It belongs to the sons and the daughters of God to hear the voice of God. You need to say, God, you need to come into my room and wake me up and speak to me because I need to hear your voice. I know the Bible says that. I know what it's written. I know, but I need to hear so that I know the full identity of it. And you need to ask God to give you that encounter and experience. And I was 19 years old, just struggling with depression, completely broken up in my life. God entered my room and he said, "You are my son, whom I love. I'm well pleased with you." I didn't know that was the words the Father spoke to Jesus. I didn't know my Bible at all at 19 years old. Well, I was Christian only for a few months. But when the Father spoke, it didn't matter what kind of broken childhood I came from. It didn't matter about the issues I had with my father, my biological father, and how he had rejected me. It really didn't matter, because the voice of the Father brought back a sense of belonging. When he said, "I loved you," value formed within me. When he said, "I am well pleased with you," you cannot now come and tell me that God is not pleased with me, because I heard my Father's voice. Your criticism, your judgments don't have any more an effect on me, because the Father's voice resounds in me. You know, again and again and again, through the journey of life, through the journey of disciple, the journey of ministry, when I've gone through difficult times, I go back to the day the Father spoke to me. It keeps coming up here, and it comes back, and I remember that day, and I remember the room, and I remember the presence of God, and I hear the Father's voice again. And nothing can pull me down. I keep coming up again. You pull me down, I come up again, because the Father's voice broke that fear. It broke that insecurity. It broke that belief that I was unworthy. It broke that struggle I had, that shyness, that timidness that I had, and helped me back. The Father's voice released me into ministry, and it sustains me in ministry. Yeah. On and on and on. Yeah. We need the Father's voice. Yeah. Make it the cry of your heart. Doesn't matter, young or old, doesn't matter. Make it and ask God, "I need to hear your voice." And the voice of God will come back to you, and you will hear the Father's voice. Let me show you another one. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. This time it is Paul speaking to a young minister, and this is Timothy. And Paul calls Timothy my son in the faith. So he's a father. He's not talking to Timothy as a mentor or a senior leader or apostolic leader, which he is. He's talking to him like a father. This is his father. Or he's talking to, as a son. This is his son. And this is what he says in verse 7. "For God has not given us a spirit of fear." He's telling his son, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. He's talking to his son. Now this is, of course, a human father, or human father carrying a spiritual mantle. And I want to speak to you, whether you are young or old, whether you are single or married, because God is going to raise some of you, even some of you young people from the youth group, God is going to give you the Father's voice. You're not only going to hear the Father's voice, you're actually going to speak the Father's voice to an orphan generation that you will find in your community and your schools. So we don't only get the Father's voice, we actually speak the Father's voice, because God is giving us a spiritual authority to speak. It's got nothing to do with age. It's got nothing to do with age. It's got nothing to do whether you are married and have children or not. It's got nothing to do with that, because it's actually a spiritual positioning that God is bringing in your life. And Paul begins to speak to Timothy there. Now, when you look at the background, if you read Timothy chapter, the whole book, you know, 2 Timothy, you will find that Paul very nicely is addressing the issue of fear in his young spiritual son. He knows he has the potential. He knows he had the calling. And he says to him, "I know you had the calling, because I spoke to you when I laid hands and prayed over you. I gave you, I give lease that with that calling in you." But Timothy will not rise up and be that person. How many times we have heard God call us, we've heard God say, "Be this, be that," but we never really do it, because we feel inadequate. We feel maybe it's not me. We go, "I don't know whether I can do this." We all struggle with inadequacy, especially with spiritual ministries, all right? To rise up and give a prophetic word, to pray for somebody who's sick, to stand up and share what God is speaking in our life, to go out into the streets and share the gospel of Jesus Christ, to get that word of knowledge and to see somebody and speak to them. You know, I was flying from Perth to Malaysia, and I had a young guy sitting next to me, and I'm the kind of guy who is a bit tired when I get on flight and be very happy to fall asleep. But I tried to sleep, and I felt God saying, you need to talk to him. And I'm like, can I just sleep? You know, I've got a lot of ministry. By the time I reach, I've got work to do. I just want to sleep. And it just nagged me. And so I turned to him, and I said, hi, where do you work? And he said, I work in, at that time it was not Crown, it was Burswood. And he said, I work there. And I said, what do you do? And he told me what he did. And I said, you're flying back to Malaysia. Which part of Malaysia? And he said, I'm going to Penang. And so we talk about Penang, because I spent a couple of years there. And we talk of the different things we like. And as Malaysians, we talk of nice Malaysian food. That's what Malaysians do all the time. All right, so we talk of all the different food that we get from Penang. By the way, Penang has extremely good food. All right, that's written that's written somewhere in the Bible. If you search the Bible, you find that. All right, it is wonderful, wonderful food if you've been there. And so we were having this whole conversation. And I really began to hear God say to me, you know, to tell him about the Father's heart. And I'm thinking, how do I tell him about the Father's heart? You know. So I said to him, are you single or married? And he goes, I'm single. I go, why? And he kind of looked at me like, who do you think you are? You know. I said, why? And I said, you actually would like to get married, but you're just a bit nervous about it. And he goes, yeah, that's true. And I go, why? I said, I'll tell you why. So I took a piece of paper and I drew body, soul, and spirit. And I talked to him about the body and so the spirit. And I said, you know, when Christ comes in your spirit is born again, there comes a boldness. A boldness to fall in love. A boldness to pursue a woman. A boldness to ask if she'll marry you. And he goes, really? I go, really? And he looked at the diagram and he said, can I take it? I said, yeah, you can take it. And he goes, who are you? And I said, I think I'm here to tell you about the Father. And I began telling him the Father. And he goes, I actually came from a background where I didn't have a father. And because of the lack of a father's voice, because of the lack of parental affirmation, this is father or mother or both, because he just didn't have an identity. He just didn't have the boldness to do the things that you will do as you rise up to manhood or womanhood. And Paul was struggling with this. Now, if you study the book, you actually realize Paul, from his maternal side, comes from an extremely rich heritage. Grandmother and his mother were spiritual people. It's written actually in the book. But there's a loud silence about his father. Paul doesn't say anything about his father. And you have to ask yourself, why? Just doesn't mention about his father. And there's something that is bothering this young minister that he just can't rise up. He knows he has the calling. He knows he even has the anointing. He knows he needs to do it, but something holds him back. And Paul gets right to the heart of the issue. And I like the way Paul says it in verse 7. He says, for God has not given us, he didn't say you, he said us, a spirit of fear. And he talked of the spirit of fear. He didn't say, I know you came from a bit of a broken home, and so you are a bit timid. He goes, no. He brings it into a spiritual dimension and says there is a spiritual spirit, a spirit of fear that is holding you back. But that spirit, that part of you that feels like you, that when you go, it's just me, I'm just shy, I'm just timid, I'm just fearful, you think it's you. You wrap it around your personality and go, that's just me. No, it's not you. Spirit of fear. Because God did not give you spirit fear. And you were not made to have that spirit within you. You were made in the likeness of God. You were made in the image of God. And we take so much of our inadequacy. We take so much of our failure. And we make it personality. Because God goes, no, 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 no. Paul goes, no. I laid hands and prayed for you. I gave you the prophetic word. I anointed you for ministry. I released you. I know what God called you to do. And I am not going to let any old spirit of fear stop you from rising up and going and being everything you had to be. And a father had to speak to his son. Wow. Do you see why we need the father's voice? And I mean this with mother's voice speaking to the daughters, by all means, why we need that voice to break what the enemy pulls down. That voice of shame, that voice of failure, that voice of, I can't do this. That voice that comes from history and haunts us and holds us down. Don't let that voice. And Paul says to him, he goes, no. But you have power and love and a sound mind. This is what fear does. Fear disempowers you. That's the first thing. It takes away that power that you have in Christ. And you know what happens to us? Listen, let me talk to Christians, church-going Christians, all right? Church-going, Holy Spirit-filled, tithe-paying, dancing Christians. Let me talk to you, all right? The spirit of fear still keeps you sitting in the pew, and you never rise up to do what God's called you to do. And you think I'm okay because I'm paying my tithes, I'm speaking in tongues, I'm dancing in the church, I'm involved, so I'm okay. The spirit of fear shuts you down. He won't let you move further than that. And we justify saying, see, I'm involved with the church. I come and do so much, but you never rise up to be what God calls you. And there are people who need to speak in their university. There are people who need to speak in their school. There are people who need to start prayer meetings in their offices. There are people that you never really do this. Now, when I was in Malaysia, I spoke a message about prayer. And a young guy came up to me, not a young man, but a young Christian came up to me. And he said to me, Pastor, I was just baptized last week. And I went, great. Obviously, I was not there. And he was back. And he said, you know what? I'm going back to my office, and we're going to start a prayer group. He was a two-week-old Christian. He said, I'm going to start a prayer group, and I'm going to bring people together. And I thought, wow, look at this bonus. He goes, I'm going to start a prayer group. I really felt when you were speaking that God said to me, go and start a prayer group in your office. And so he's going back to his office to start a prayer group. See, those are the things held back because of fear. It disempowers us. We procrastinate. We say, someday, we love this someday, isn't it? Someday in God's time, come on. You know, it is up to the Lord, you know. Whenever God is ready, come on. It's a hope in heaven. It is not someday. Today, if you hear his voice, today you step out of faith and you start doing the things of God. Now you say, but I don't know how to do it. All ministries start, which I don't know how to do it. Trust me. Nobody knows how to do it. But we just start doing it. If you're saying, I need to know how to do it, I need to... If you're saying, I need money, no ministry starts with money. Let me tell you that as well. All right? You go and the money will be there. You go and the anointing will be there. You go and the people will come. You go in that process. But a spirit of fear holds us back from our kingdom assignment. That's why we have so many people sitting in the church, but not so many people taking back the kingdom of God for Jesus Christ. The spirit of fear. The Father's voice is missing, and the spirit of fear comes in, and he brings the voice of a broken, orphan child, and he speaks to you. You think it's your voice. You think it's your thoughts, but it's not your thoughts. It's the spirit of fear, and he disempowers you, and he just keeps you paralyzed there. The spirit of fear removes love and brings this thing called self-love. That means I'm caught up with myself and all the reasons why life is so hard for me, instead of taking the love of God and going and doing the things. See, it's so easy to get caught up with, but what about me? You focus on that brokenness. You focus on your pain. Now listen. We're all going to have struggles throughout our Christian life. If you're thinking, when it's all over, then I will serve God, it's not going to be over. It's always going to be an issue. There's always going to be a struggle. There's always going to be someone sick. There's always going to be some issue with money. There's always going to be some issue with relationship. And as you're working with this, you're stepping off it. Why? Because of the love of Christ within you. Love is a very powerful motivator. Love, fear will cripple that love of God within your heart and just not cause you to rise up and do the things of God. And so you become someone who's so caught up with your unlove that you never give the love of God. listen, we come from homes that are painful, broken, hurting, and we feel so unloved. So you think, that's just me. Is it really you? Or is it a spirit of fear that holds you in unlove? And you're caught up, you can come up with all the words, you're caught up with rejection, you're caught up with depression, you're caught up with all these mental health issues, you're caught up, you can come up with all the names, but the Bible simply calls it a spirit of fear. That's what the Bible calls it. You can break it down into all the different categories, and that's fine. At the end of the day, it's a spirit of fear. It's a demonic spirit. It's a spiritual. It's evil. It comes to torment you. It restricts you. There's a spirit of fear until the Father's voice comes back. Are you with me here? Okay? Now, this third thing, and a sound mind. In other words, when fear comes, you don't have a sound mind. The reasoning, the logic is gone. You begin to find all kinds of thinking processes, your suspicion, your justification, your mindset, your argument is unsound. Wow. Sounds good to you, but it's unsound because the fear, the spirit of fear keeps building that. And Paul speaks to his spiritual son. He must love the son so much. He understands what is going in his son. And he says to him, no. You will not be restricted by the spirit of fear. You're going to rise up and be a minister. And you're going to be a minister of power, of love, wisdom, and intelligence. Because the Father's voice came. Timothy would rise up. History will tell us that he will become the bishop of Ephesus. One of the most powerful church fathers of his day. He will become an apostolic person who moves into the region, not just one city, but into the whole region, and become an extremely influential man for the kingdom of God. But what if the Father's voice did not come? How many of us need the Father's voice? And how many people who are not here need us to speak the Father's voice? It's time to bring back the Father's voice to our city and to our culture and our times. Too many people are struggling with their insecurities. You know, we have the highest level of mental health and depression that we have ever had in our history. Why are we doing this? Is that because we stop hearing the Father's voice? Is it because fathers and mothers themselves are orphans and cannot bring the Father's voice? And let God speak to us. So whether you're father or mother, whether you're a young person, a young woman in this room, or a young man in this room, you need to say, God, I need the Father's voice. Let me tell you one last thing. When Jesus died on the cross, he said, I am the door to the Father. In other words, the cross is not your final destination. Your cross is only the door. How many of you would come and visit your friend and stop at the door? You don't stop at the door. Many of us think the cross is the final destination. No, the cross is only a door. And when you have a door opens and takes you somewhere. Takes you to the Father's presence. That's why Jesus said, no one comes to the Father except through me. So we so often in our Christianity stop at the cross. And we think, I've got it all. No, you just started. The door is only the beginning point. Begin your journey deeper and deeper and deeper. Enter the throne room. Get to the Father. Hear the Father's voice. And I know many of you know the cross. And you've accepted Jesus Christ. And you've gone through the door. But don't build a tent on the door. That's not your destination. It's only the beginning. Go into the Father's presence. Come stand with me. Stand with me. We're just going to take some time to worship and minister. And I want to do two things. I want to pray that you may hear the Father's voice. And I want to pray for those of you who say, I just struggle with that. I feel so rejected or broken or shame or whatever. And I explain that. And if you want, we need to pray for you so that you can hear the Father's voice. But I want to break the spirit of fear. I felt today as I came here that God was saying, destroy that spirit of fear. Break up root his hole, his roots that have gone into so many lives. Remove it, and I will release lives and release them into the calling and purpose of God. So you need to recognize many of your thoughts that are negative is actually a spirit of fear. But I also want to pray that you may hear the Father's voice. So let's begin by singing about the Father. All right, just for a moment, you just lift up your hands and just come to the Father. Whoever you are, whatever you're doing, just come into the presence of the Father.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.